Aí escuta já, hein? Altamalu Ruach, Maltishma Dvorim Batalim. Those are 2 points. A person shouldn't work for the wind, for nothingness. If one person works, he doesn't accomplish anything, so that's a melus for Ruach. A person should do it in a way which is successful. Maltishma Dvorim Batalim, a person shouldn't even hear Dvorim Batalim. I focus on the second point of the Rosh. Says Altishma Dvorim Batalim. So it's interesting that he focuses on the Shmir. We usually in our minds we think about Tisha Dvorim Batalim. You shouldn't speak Dvorim Batalim. We're focusing on the person talking Dvorim Batalim. But that's in the Gemara. The Gemara says that a person shouldn't be Shemet and be Mashmir to himself. Let himself hear Dvorim Batalim. Because the Gemara says that your ears will, when they go down to, the Gemara gives a marshal, and you go down to, you put something in the fire, so the things that protrude, and therefore they're exposed to the fire on both sides, they get burned first. So the ears protrude, so Lacha may have asked him, you go to Gehenna, the ears get burned first, because they protrude, so they either, they're thinner and they more exposed to the fire, they turn the charcoal much more quickly than the rest of the body. So you're going to go to Gehenna, so ears go first. So but it doesn't talk about speaking to one Batalim, it talks about hearing to one Batalim. So we normally understand the problem with the one Batalim is a waste of time. Right. So there's no difference in the waste of time between the amount of time that you spend talking to one Batalim and the time you spend hearing to one Batalim. Apparently what the Gemara is saying, the Rosh is saying, that there's a different akuda. Shemiyah is going in. Speaking to Rosh Hashanah are going out. So there's one issue when a person is in Rosh, he's talking to Rosh Hashanah and he's getting out of the system and it's going somewhere. The other problem is when you're listening to Rosh Hashanah, you're filling your mind. You're filling your mind off with things which are taking up space in your mind. The nature of the person is, the more a person is in touch with reality, the more his Torah is mikvah by him. We saw this idea, there's a meter called Das. And the meter of Das is when a person connects with something in an intimate way. The mushal which we gave, as once on the Sefer, we gave a very nice mushal, says, if you take the average novel, the book, you know, storybook, The actual plot of the story can be written in 10 pages, 15 pages. You can get the whole story in 10 or 15 pages. And that's what Cliff Notes are, for the most part. Right? But the actual book could be 60, it could be 600, 700, 800 pages. What's that all about? The purpose of that is, you know, if you read your book, it's going to take 10, 15 pages. They wouldn't be very interesting to you. There's another 500 pages, which the goal is to make you feel part of the story. You get into the characters, and you can't put the book down, and it's riveting, and it's exciting, etc. That's the meaning of Das. You connect with the reality, with the story which is there. You feel you connect with it. You get a fellow, he's reading the book, and he's just, his heart's racing. It's very much more than very common by a person watches movies, television, his heart's racing. You know, it's the thing is about this thick, and that's all it is. It's not reality. It's a picture of somebody on a thing which is paper thin. What's your heart? What's going to happen? The heart's racing. Is it going to make it or not? There's nobody there to make it or not to make it. But you connect intimately with that reality. But it's not real. So a person has used his Kayach of Das to connect into a phantom fake. Right? It's a fake. It's not real. But you've used that Kayach of Das to connect to that. You have that much less Kayach of Das to connect to reality. A person is supposed to use the Kayach of Das for learning Torah. And a person can learn Torah to the point where he feels mamash connected to the Torah. And you see a person getting excited about a piece of Gemara. So there's two ways to get excited about a piece of Gemara. The only way to get excited is because the person has, he's putting his Kachma into it. And she was said, you know, for that Bethlehem, theoretically you could do the same thing with a chess game. Very challenging and exciting, you know, am I going to win, am I going to lose, using my chokhmah, etc. You can do it with math, You can do it with almost anything. Right? But that the main focus over there is not that, it's you. You enjoy your wisdom. You enjoy your intelligence. You enjoy that your smart move. You enjoy you. Well, we're very connected to ourselves. We're getting very excited about my board. I enjoy my finish that I set. That's not what we're talking about. It's how much a person can learn Torah and enjoy the learning of the Torah. Well, Shiva, we were sitting once at the Shiva Friday night. We give the Friday night at his house. We had a Musar Kabura, Avad. I don't remember what we were learning then. We were learning some safer, and afterwards, you know, we talked a little bit. The Rebbe came and she put some cake down on the table. So the Shiva said, cake is gishmak, her is gishmak. He says, you can eat a Mishnah. And he started saying over the words of the Mishnah. You heard the person walking, you know, licking his chops on the words of the Mishnah. That's for the Mishnah. And he said, like, wow, you know, we don't relate to that. You don't say, you learn the Mishnah, and it says, Isha nikpes, gishmak, the word of Isha is nikpes. And somebody once had this, that the Rishima wrote the auras on Gans Tanakh. He has the auras on Gans Tanakh. Somebody pointed out that most Rishivas nowadays don't write Horus and Tanakh. And they weren't, you know, these exciting, titillating, lumbashistical karam, she calls them. Was it all horror? What does Rashi say? Why does Rashi say this word over here? Why? Very, very basic thing. She was such a guy. What was he doing this time writing such a thing? So I said, there's a bechina that they had to get into when the people want to join the goyim's cloys, his, you know, ship it on by the goyim, there's a bechina to get in. The bechina was terribly small. You learn Torah Lishma. So if you pass the Bechina, you were able to learn with the Goyim. Now how do you test a person who doesn't learn Torah Lishma? I mean, you can say a person learns a lot, learns a little, but how do you know what's going on inside of it? What his motivations are? Maybe his motivation is to be teaching me caution, to learn by the Goyim. I don't know what his motivation is. So the Bechina is very simple. They did the following. They gave a person a pasuk in Tanakh to read. He had to read the same pasuk as long as he could. If you learn Torah so because you love the words of the Torah, so what's not going to be, what words it are? It's part of the Torah. It's because you enjoy the intellectual pursuit which comes out of your mind after a while. The pasuk was the first pasuk in the Reyama. First pasuk in the Reyama has three words, and the three words are Adam, Sheif, Enosh. That's the pasuk. How long could you keep repeating that pasuk? And I think, you know, if you didn't pass the 3-hour mark, you wouldn't make it in. Right? Adam, Sheif, Enosh. Adam, Sheif, Enosh. Adam Shay Enosh. Enosh Shay Sodom. Adam Shay. What are you going to do with that pasuk? But if you like the words of Torah, the Torah is geshmak to you, so it's the words of the person talking to you. What does he mean? I don't know what he means, but the person talking to you. The person gets this, you know, this fascinating, you know, muscle give a cousin sends a letter, this talent. It's my cousin's letter. It's beautiful, my cousin's letter. It's my cousin's letter. It's sorry, eyed. It's my cousin's letter. Well, I don't know, but it's my cousin's letter. There's a kind of dance you can connect into the words of Torah itself. The more you use up that kind of dance for other things, and when you do that, that's when you're being shamed the word of the table. The more you let yourself get involved into the world of the word of the table, you let it go into your mind and keep it to your mind. I know for myself that if I read fiction, I do not learn the same the next day. I use my mind for something which isn't real, and it affects my learning. I mean, you know, there's not much of it. I don't know. I just find I can see it correlatively. If I pick up a fiction, very kosher fiction, where everything is kosher and it's wonderful, and I'm watching shmooze and I'll zing, but it's not real. My learning is not the same the next day. I can feel it because I'm attached to something which isn't real. It affects my davening, it affects my learning, it affects everything. It's not real. So the Rosh, I'll teach them the word Mitzvah. It's an issue. Baruch tells me he's not a seichel learning, you know. Maybe the reason why he's not being a seichel learning is because there's certain decisions that a person has to make. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to drop it and the next day you're going to be, wow, just love that learning 18 hours without a problem. I'm not going to say that. But there's investments that a person has to make. A person wants to be successful and he wants to do something, he has to make certain decisions. And the fellow wants to be successful in being in sports, so he can't hang out with the guys after school. He's going to go back to the gym and practice. He's going to run around the track 50 times. Everybody else is having a good time, and he's running around the track. But he made a decision. That's what he wants. He makes an investment. So one investment the person wants to make to be successful in learning is a decision that he's not going to really take these things which affect his mind. They're mind things, and use his mind in a way which isn't going to help him for his learning. It's a decision. It's a commitment. So Sharma says one thing about this type of an issue. He gives a marshal that they used to have these things called a maze, which was actually, instead of just on paper, but the maze was actually, they would build these gardens, which were a maze, and they would have a nice pavilion in the middle, which is raised up above the rest of the garden, and you could sit in the pavilion in the middle and watch everybody making fools out of themselves, walking through the various different hedges, which all looked exactly the same, trying to get to the pavilion. So once in a while the guys in the pavilion were nice, assuming they were nice, and they say, go left, go right, etc., and you can listen to them or not listen to them. Well, as far as you're they all look the same. So why should I listen to that guy up there? That's your decision. But that's what he says, because I'll tell you, the Moshe Yitzchak will tell you that you're prisoners to make the Hikam HaKesh B'Nashav Adam. So I once had this discussion with the Bacher. I said, I believe if you will stop reading this certain type of literature, whatever it is, in 3 months you'll see a difference in your learning. He says, Mehikam HaKesh, I don't see a difference. He says, you're holding in the middle of the maze. But somebody who's outside of the maze is telling you, it will make a difference. So now it's your choice to listen or not. I can't convince you. So you don't see a difference. That's the guy walking through all the hedges look exactly the same. There's somebody above it says, you know what, that's the right path and that's not. Whether you believe it or not, that's your decision. Finally, he took the plunge, came back to him and said, you know what, Rebbe made a difference. Made a real difference. Okay, but I can't, that's the decision. When you want to accept that message, I call it Musa, that message, the guy tells you this, I've been to the system, I tell you what works, what doesn't work. I got to the people, you didn't. So I know what works. You think you're as smart as me, right? That's fine. That's your decision. I can't take it away from you. You have a right to say, listen, I'm a smart guy. The guy over there is not any smarter than me. What does he know about life? I know about life. That's true. Maybe. But maybe not. Maybe the reason why he's there and you're here is because he made it through the system already and you didn't. And maybe he knows which way is the best way to go. And he tells you, don't do it. Think about it very strongly. If you want to be successful, you want to think about it very strongly what he has to say. Obviously, you ask the right person. If you want to become a millionaire, you don't say, there's this guy down in the Bowery, which, lives in the gutter. He always has great ideas. I mean, every time I'm great, he'll get a great new scheme how to make money. You're not going to ask him for advice. He's not the right guy. I mean, I don't think so. You never know. Once you get, brilliant genius, you can't put a life together. But most of the guys down there are not going to be the ones you want to ask for advice. You want to go to the person who's a millionaire many times over and say, listen, how do you become a millionaire? I know you started off from scratch. How do you do it? That's the guy you want to go to. So you go to the Moshe Yitzchak, people who are successful in overcoming the Yetzer Hara, and what's their advice they're going to tell you? And that was the Moshe that he's talking about. So it applies to many things. It applies to many things also. The Rosh is saying that I'm telling you, you'll not be successful. It'd be very difficult to be successful in the world of Das and of connecting to your Torah in such a way that you get excited about Torah, and therefore Torah becomes a part of you, if you're using that faculty that Rosh gave you to become connected to the world of the war in the table.